going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, what's up, Atlanta? My name is Garrett Chapman. You're coming off the bench with me. Got a lot to get into. We got a fantastic show. The Atlanta Falcons are up in Flowery Branch this weekend going into early next week. We got OTAs. That means football is back. Well, not really. Unless you like the XFL or the UFL or whatever, the USFL or whatever those secondary leagues are or whatever. But no, the NFL is, we're hitting the OTA period. So we're in that period of time where, you know, people are putting on helmets and running around in shorts and talking to the media. So I'm going to let you hear from some of these players who talked to the media earlier this week. What are your expectations for the Falcons' defense this year, though? What are the expectations? Because I don't know yet. I was sitting here racking my brain earlier today, trying to figure out what I thought about this team defensively. The offense, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. I am excited about what the offense could potentially look like, but we'll talk about the offense here in a moment. We've talked a lot about the schedule. We've talked a lot about what the other teams in the division have done. But I think ultimately what this team needed most this offseason was a reset on defense. And they've done that. You fire Jimmy Lake. You move on to Jeff Ulbrich. You bring in some names. Some names. You know, I mean, largely the secondary is effectively the same team that we saw last year, except for Jordan Fuller. And then you look at the draft. Okay, you go in, add Billy Bowman. You go in, you add Xavier Watts into that secondary. Then you go to the front seven. You go and you add Jalen Walker. You add James Pierce. So what are you actually expecting this defense to do? Because ultimately, I know the sack numbers have been thrown in everybody's face for at least the last two decades, as long as I can remember. And I don't like the idea of putting a number on it, but I want to say that if you hit 40 sacks, I think this defense could be at least in the middle of the pack. And that's really my expectation. And the more I've sat here and thought about it, what do I want this defense to be in 2025? I just want them to have some kind of edge. You know, show some flashes. Because they did add some people. They added some faces, a couple of them. But as far as expecting them to do big things, I heard it on Dukes and Bell earlier this week. Sack numbers for rookies generally are not that good. They're not. And it's reasonable to understand why. They're rookies. It's not everybody's going to come in here and be Micah Parsons year one. I mean, hell, TJ Watt, even he took a little bit of time to warm up in the NFL. It happens. You just got to give it some time. So that brings me back to the original question. What do you expect from this Falcons defense? I think you added a little bit of people. You added some people. But the biggest one that I'm looking at is Leonard Floyd. Because the pass rushers, they have to take a step forward. They have to take a step forward. But it's not going to be these rookies. I'm not expecting a lot from Braylon Trice. He just seems like a guy. And until he proves me wrong, that's all he is to me. Arnold Ebiketie, I think he's made some big steps here in the last couple of years. Especially the end of last season. I thought he ended strong. Leonard Floyd is the guy that I'm looking at right here. But Leonard Floyd, let's jump to some audio here, because Leonard Floyd, he talked about what expectations were for this unit while also relying on some youth. Take a listen.
I feel like I fit right in. I'm a guy who's been through a lot as far as my career. I got a lot of experience, and I'm just coming in and giving as much knowledge to the guys as I can.
Yeah. Cool. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward, to the point. Now, this is a guy who averages 8.5 sacks. He plays every game of the year. He's got 17 games logged every single year of this 17-game season. You know, as long as it's been 17 games, he's played 17 games, effectively. I'm looking at him to come in and be that 8.5 sack guy. I need 8.5 sacks from him. Because if I get 5, 6, 7 sacks from a Jalen Walker, okay, that's fine. 5, 6, 7 sacks from a James Pierce, yeah, that's fine. It's Leonard Floyd that I need to get up to 8.5, 9, 10 sacks. Arnold Ebiketie, he's the guy who also has to get up to 8, 9, 10 sacks. Because those are the guys that you're leaning on. Those are the guys that you need to take that big step forward. Because if you're not going to do anything with in that pass rush, then I'm not really convinced that this defense has taken that big step forward that it needed to. I mean, hell, every single draft pick up until the last one was a defender. That's not a coincidence. It's because this team needed to make a statement this offseason. And I think they did, for the most part. They made a massive investment on the defensive side of the ball. And the other spot that I'm very intrigued with, specifically, is the interior of that secondary. I'm looking at the nickelback position with Billy Bowman, who was added. Kevin King, who's going to have that competition there in the interior. Clark Phillips, maybe he can push to the outside. He can kind of play both. But Clark Phillips is somebody who also needs to take that big step forward. But in the secondary specifically, at the safety position, with Jordan Fuller, Xavier Watts, these are guys who are going to be battling it out. And Jordan Fuller, he talked to the media. He says that this actually could be a very lively group here in 2025.
I have a bunch of guys that are flying around, trying to get to the ball, trying to be the first to the ball, communicating at a high level, and just being really, really excited for their teammates' success.
Yeah, and that's what his thoughts on with Jeff Ulbrich coming in and being the new defensive coordinator. But Jesse Bates, he also shares that same thought.
I love the fact that he's been in our chairs before. You know, anytime, you know, you get a new coach, you know, sometimes some coaches like to overemphasize some things, overcoach some things, and say it's all about the X's and O's. But when you have a coach that's been there before, that's been in those seats, that's been in installs before, it's a little bit easier to, you know, apply what he's talking about in the meetings and stuff like that. So it's been great. Jeff's super demanding. He has that linebacker, like, personality. So it's been good. It's been good to work with him, and, you know, I'm excited for, you know, what's to come.
Yeah, with Jordan Fuller, with Jesse Bates, you've got some experience in that room. Jordan Fuller is somebody who I expect to have the role for the early parts of the season, and then maybe, hopefully, we see Xavier Watts kind of assert himself and take that next big step and potentially supplant him as a starter. But ultimately, this is going to be a young group. This is going to be a very young secondary. And you need those two to really step up in a big way. And this is they're just young. And relying on Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman to come in and at least create some competition in training camp and during OTAs, that is really the biggest thing. Jesse Bates had this to say about the impact they could have early on in their career.
Yeah, you know, there was no surprise. We went defense in the draft. And like I said, those guys will be making, you know, some impactful plays and having some impactful snaps this year. So just getting those guys in here and making them feel comfortable, in the scheme, and, you know, just let them know that, you know, you're in your dream. You just started your dream, but there's a whole lot more that you can, you know, do in this league. By, you know, you didn't just get here just to get drafted and, you know, play 1 year in this league. You know, you want to have a, you know, long career, and just teaching those guys the daily habits, you know, not just talking about it, but being an example for these guys every single day. And you just do little stuff every single day, and that type of stuff that adds up. And next thing you know, you'll be on year 8 like me, and good things will happen for you and your family. So just talking to those guys about that.
Yeah, and is there anybody better than Jesse Bates to have in this type of situation? I think Jesse Bates is the leader of this Falcons defense. Grady Jarrett was it last year, and I think he had been for many years. But Jesse Bates, I think, really truly is the leader of this team. And I think A.J. Terrell could step into that role, but he's just a very quiet guy, you know?
I was going to say, that's what Raheem Morris actually talked about earlier in the week, where he kind of spoke about Jesse Bates being the leader and face of the defense now, especially with Grady Jarrett gone. Mm-hmm. He's kind of the vet going into now. He talked about, you know, going into year three now as a Falcon.
Yep.
He's been here. He's now going into second year of our system. So he knows the regime. He's the vet in the room. And as of right now, he's the best player on this defense.
Yeah.
So.
No, he definitely is. He's clearly the best player in this defense. I don't think. And look, I remember when we signed Jesse Bates, I was kind of hesitant because I was like, that's a lot of money for a safety. That's a lot of money for a safety. But having that kind of guy in the back half of the field on any given play, I mean, that definitely makes me feel good.
4 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles, and 10 pass deflections last year for Jesse Bates.
I'll take that. Wait, he wasn't an All-Pro, was he? I don't think he was. He might as well be.
I don't think
so. But he's somebody who's, I would say he's a top 3 safety in the NFL. I think you could comfortably say that. You might be able to say he's the best safety in the NFL. I think you can absolutely make that argument. But him leading that room, especially with it being a young ball club, I think that's going to be a very important thing for the Atlanta Falcons. But look, guys like Fuller, too, they'll need to fight for their positions. And Jordan Fuller, he was also asked about this earlier in the week. He says this is how he's going to stand up as we ramp up to training camp.
Hopefully, in the way I prepare, the way I prepare, and just approach the game and approach every single day. Yeah, I just try to be me out there. So all I can say is, like, it's going to be different because I'm just going to be me out there. That's the only thing.
Yeah, just be me. And that's all we can ask him to be. That's all we can really ask him to be. And I think Jordan Fuller, I mean, ultimately, if he can step in here, and I mean, DeMarco Helms is another name who I wanted to bring up as well, but he's somebody who took a big step last year during training camp. Then, unfortunately, of course, he's going to be battling back from an injury. He had a season-ending injury in training camp last year, but it seemed like he was building up to a potential, not even just a roster spot, but potentially playing time here in a Falcons uniform. But Jordan Fuller, he's going to be competition for that. The safety position, if they can elevate, I think this whole team will be a little bit better for it, obviously, but it all starts with the pass rush. It all starts with the pass rush. And I don't know if it's going to be one guy. I doubt it's one guy. But if you can get somebody into those double digits, I think that'll do wonders for the rest of this team, because you sack the quarterback, you get them on the ground, does everyone just that much better. But
over under, I asked Chris this earlier in the week, over under the Falcons, I believe it was, it hasn't been in since 2019 where the Falcons had at least 2 guys have more than 6.5 sacks in the same season.
You said since 2019?
2019. They haven't had 2 guys have more than 6.5 sacks in one season. Over, under, 2.5.
Under.
Under?
Under. 10 plus?
No. Over 6.5.
Oh, over 6.5.
Yes.
Oh, over.
6.5 is the number.
I think over. I think but as a collective, I think this pass rush unit is better.
So you think
6.5 is
there will be
such a low bar.
So I'm saying you think there will be 3 separate guys on this team that will have more than 6.5 sacks.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay.
I hope so. Maybe that's optimistic. Maybe it's optimistic. But I think Leonard Floyd is going to get over 6.5. I think either one of James Pierce or Jalen Walker is going to get over 6.5. And then Arnold Abakady, I think, breaks out this year. I think he can get to double digits. He's the guy I'm expecting to get up to 10.
It's unfortunate. You mentioned Braylon Trice earlier, and it kind of speaks to the situation that he's in, where you say, like, you're not really expecting much from him this year.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because this is a guy who's a third-round pick who originally, like, when he was first drafted, was kind of, like, expected, like, hey, like, we need you to come in and produce and kind of be an instant impact guy.
Yeah.
And now he looks up, and it's a very crowded room with guys that on paper have a lot more potential than he does.
Yeah.
So he finds himself in a really, really scary situation.
Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah.
Welcome to the NFL. It's a brutal spot to be in. And I think ultimately, if the defense can just get into the middle of the pack, you know, and that's my biggest thing. You get 40-ish sacks, generally speaking, that's good enough. I've only done that one time in the last decade. So if we can do it, I don't know. I don't know if we've ever actually had, as long as I've been doing this, a rotation this good, or at least as talented, albeit inexperienced. We got actual guys who we can rotate in. And I mean, look, it starts in the trenches, and we can talk about pass catchers next week. But look, I'm excited about what this defense could be. Just get to the middle of the pack. Just get to the middle of the pack, and we'll see what we can do with that. But I got a big update. A legendary career has come to an end. I'll tell you more about that when we get back. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And the game. Oh, it was a tough day to be a baseball team from the state of Georgia. Not a great day for it. Whether it's the Major League Baseball team, Braves, continues to lose games, or the Georgia Bulldogs, or the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, for that matter. All three lost today. Just a bummer. We'll get into the Georgia Bulldogs here in just a moment, but I do want to give a quick shout-out. This game happened last segment, so I'm sitting here trying to watch the game. They load up the bases. Bottom of the ninth, or top of the ninth, Georgia Tech has an opportunity, down two runs, 11-9. And in the last segment, full disclosure, I'm sitting here trying to watch the game or follow along with everything that's going on because it's bases loaded, two outs, a dream scenario for any kid who you grow up in those types of situations. And unfortunately, Georgia Tech does strike out to end the game. They lose 11-9 to Ole Miss. And of course, the big note here is that Danny Hall, his storied career has come to an end. He's the winningest coach in Georgia Tech history, not ACC history, I don't believe. But he is the winningest coach at Georgia Tech baseball history. He's been there since 1994. So if you can believe this, he's been there longer than I've been alive, which is a crazy thing to think about. I'm 30 years old, right? I just turned 30. And Danny Hall has been coaching at been the head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets longer than I've been alive. It's crazy. 146 draft picks. He's had 24 tournament teams. He's won several ACC championships, both regular season and tournament. It won the regular season this year, and a lot of people were upset that they didn't host a regional this year, but it's all a moot point. His career comes to an end, and so does the season for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. a tough one. But then in Athens, also not a great result in that one. The Georgia Bulldogs are eliminated. 11-9 losers to Oklahoma State. 5 runs in the third inning gave them a short lead, but the Cowboys were able to rally, score 4 runs at the bottom of the ninth inning, capped off by a walk-off 2-run home run to lose the game in the bottom of the ninth. Just a tough day. Just a really tough day. But to talk about the Braves and some other things that have not been really good in Atlanta sports today, let's go across the air. Yeah, not a lot of W's this weekend. Not a lot of W's at all. Let's start here with Atlanta United. They secured a big 3-2 win on Wednesday over Orlando. I had the pleasure of going to that match. A lot of fun. Did not feel like that was going to go in Atlanta United's favor. Not whatsoever. But it's like the 88th minute. Had some opportunities late in this match, and they punched one in. And then I'm like, wow, we're going to get out of here with a point. This is pretty tremendous. Punch another one in. They get a red card. They play a man down. It was nuts. It's how every game with Orlando City should be when it's here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But all of a sudden, it felt like this team had some momentum. All of a sudden, it felt like they were moving finally in the right direction. Ah, ye of little faith. They give up a pair of goals in the first half hour today, or yesterday, I should say. Red Bulls, a house of horrors here for Atlanta United. They lose 2-0 up there in New York, or New Jersey, I should say. They are not in great shape when they play in that dreadful place. But on the season, 4-8-5. They got 17 points sitting at 13th in the Eastern Conference. Looked like they were finally putting some pieces together. I think, ultimately, I go back to that match that they had with Austin. And that seemed to be the one where things started clicking for them. Things started moving in the right direction. They don't get all 3 points in that match against a not very good Austin team who, you know, they didn't even play a full lineup in the match, but they get a point, and it's a road match, so you steal a point on the road. That's generally the goal. And it felt like things were starting to move in the right direction for Atlanta United, and largely it has. And I'm going to talk to Jason Longshore at 820. I'm going to ask him that very question. 6 straight road matches, because the Club World Cup is coming to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If you haven't had a chance to go buy tickets, I would highly suggest you do that, because these matches, when the Club World Cup comes here, in a couple of weeks, it's going to be a ball. I'm very much looking forward to it. But they do have a bit of a break. Next match is June the 12th. They head up to NYCFC, another place that is just a house of horrors, but it's because they play soccer at a baseball stadium, and that's absolutely ridiculous. All right. Other big news today, Jay Batts, the athletic director for Georgia Tech, according to a report from ESPN and Pete Thamel, he is leaving the Yellow Jackets. He's going to be heading up to Michigan State, and he's going to go take the same role. In another report that just came out, it's going to be a 6-year deal with a big ol' raise there for Jay Batt. The announcement's coming tomorrow officially, and I know I saw some stuff from Chad Bishop from the AJC. He's the beat writer there for the Yellow Jackets at the newspaper. And look, there are some clauses in his current contract that he signed in December, mind you, that say this thing might not be completely over. So I doubt this is the last that we've heard of all of this stuff, but Jay Batt is moving on. He will not be the athletic director for Georgia Tech any longer. And look, the guy had a great run. Damon Stoudemire still TBD, with the head coach of the basketball team, but I do know that Brent Key has been fantastic. He has been fantastic for that program. They were in the depths of hell just a couple of years ago, and he supplants him as head coach, the interim position, back in 2022, and it's full steam ahead since then. They've been fantastic in that football program. And look, in this day and age, if you can win in football, everything else kind of goes up with it. So Jay Batt did a great job while he was here, and he's, of course, big fundraising guy, and he's raised a lot of money there for the Yellow Jackets. But ultimately, farewell. We'll see you later. All right, other news. The Atlanta Braves, tough weekend for our Bravos. They lose on Friday. Grant Holmes on the mound. They win on Saturday. Looks like things were kind of turning around, specifically with Spencer Schwalenbach. But they lose today. Bryce Elder was on the mound for this one. And we're 2 months into the season now. 2 months into the season. Let's review where we are with these Atlanta Braves. Only 3 teams in the National League have a worse record than your Atlanta Braves. They're 27-31. It's the Rockies, it's the Pirates, it's the Marlins, anytime you're in the category of the Rockies, the Pirates, and the Marlins, that's bad. It's very bad. But that's where the Braves are right now. They're tied up with the Reds. Also, not great company to be in. It's just a frustrating situation for this team. But the Braves, of course, all these runs, all these games seem to be just really tight affairs. 21 of their 30 losses, or 31 losses, have come by 2 runs or less. 2 runs or less. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I just know that we're losing a lot of baseball games. That's all I know for sure. And they're losers of 7 of their last 10. Not in great shape.
It gets back to a discussion that I was having with Dukes and Bell earlier in this week about how this team just doesn't have any clutch.
No clutch.
None whatsoever. Like, you just, it, and there were moments. Like, even in, I believe it was the series against the Phillies when they were making up the doubleheader the first game that they lost, Eli White had a chance with bases loaded, and
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. And look, I understand Ronald Acuna has only been back for a week, but the pitching staff, they had an ERA of 3.20. That's third best in the National League. Third best in the National League. Yet you finished the month with a losing record. How is that possible? How is that possible? Because you have a 6.59 OPS with runners in scoring position in May. That's 11th of the 15 National League teams. And you're just 2-5 since Ronald Acuna came back. I'm waiting for this boon. I'm waiting for it. And I feel like, hey, Dom, what's the definition of insanity?
That would be doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Put you on the spot, and you came through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going insane. I'm going insane. This team is making me crazy. I've been saying it for over a year now to relax. Now I'm starting to twitch. You know? It's killing me. I don't want to hear how talented they are. I don't give a damn about your talent. I don't give a damn about how much money you're making. I want you to win some baseball games. And no, I'm going to go back to this. So it's the 21 of your 31 losses have been by 2 runs or less. Do you know what that tells me? You're not big in your big moments. You lose that clutch factor. That's really all it is. You're not good enough in clutch moments. Who's going to step in and hit a home run? Who's going to step in and get an extra base hit? Because clearly, most anybody in this lineup is not capable of doing it on any given day. Do you know what that means? You're the fourth worst team in the National League. I'm so tired of this team not figuring things out. It's oh my God, it's frustrating. So this pitching, I will say, it has been a highlight. It's just this offense is wasting it. The other teams, by the way, who have that top 5 ERA in baseball, the Twins, they were 16-4. The Cards were 17-5 in the month of May. Only the Rangers had a 500 record or worse. They were 11-11. The Yankees, they were 15-6. It's just more of just frustration here from this team. This ball club is just driving me up a wall because I know how good they can be, and I'm willing to be patient. I'm willing to wait on it. But how much longer? Because this 2021 team, and I'm tired of hearing the comparisons to that World Series team, but it's a point, and it's relevant, and it matters. This is a long season. It's been very frustrating here for these first 2 months of the season. It's very frustrating. But you got to stick with it. And more importantly, that team needs to stick with it. The only downside is it doesn't seem like anybody in that clubhouse has any juice. Where is it coming from? Who has it? I need somebody to step up and do something. I know Ozzie Albies, he's been playing a little bit better. I mean, he's ticked up recently. He had a 14-game hitting streak. It was snapped on Friday. I mean, inevitably, it was always going to happen. You don't hit forever. But he did hit 364 with 4 extra base hits in that span. I've been critical of Ozzie. And look, I named my dog after Ozzie Albies. I love Ozzie. But I need him to be better. He was the leader in this clubhouse. That's the person who a lot of people highlight as the potential leader on this team. He needs to be better because that middle infield is just not very good at the plate because Nick Allen certainly is not going to give you that power. If Ozzie can give you some more power, get a couple, not even home runs, but just extra base hits, I think that'll elevate the entire center of this lineup, which is what they really desperately need. Michael Harris, though, he's got a sub-600 OPS. Are we convinced he's not just Indurain Ciarte or B.J. Upton? maybe Jason Hayward. Who Jason Hayward, he won a World Series. He's made a lot of money. But that's because he plays elite right field. Could also move into center field at times. Not very good at the plate. Michael Harris is not very good at the plate. There aren't that many professional baseball players who play every single day and make what he makes and have a sub-600 OPS. It's not good enough.
Remember how good we were feeling when we signed him to that 8-year deal?
Is it an albatross of a contract now? It's turning into that. And look, he's only in his fourth season. He won an Major League Baseball Rookie of the Year back in, 2022. I'm not fully convinced he can't get back to that kind of level of hitting, but I don't know, man. I love the idea of having him in that 9-hole, but you also can't afford to give Nick Allen more at-bats. It's just kind of where we are. It's where we are. But then there's Austin Riley. You talk about you give him the biggest contract in Braves history. He's making, $27 million. Guys who are making as much as he is for this franchise, doing what he did in the month of May, I mean, hell, he's a 783 OPS since the start of 2024. I'm frustrated, guys. I'm frustrated. I have to convince myself it will get better. It will get better. This team will come around. Just got to be patient. Oh, my God. You just got to be patient. All right. Speaking of patience, we got to be patient for the NBA Finals. Not until Thursday that we're going to get our first game of that. I'll ask Brad Rowland what he thinks about the NBA Finals. I'll also ask him a little bit of Braves. I need him to talk me off a ledge here because I know he has some positive things to say about that. Plus, what's the latest on this NBA or this Hawks general manager search? Talking to him about Brad Rowland about that when we get back. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game. Been a tough weekend for the Atlanta Braves. Not the best start to what should be a great month of June. The weather is getting warmer. Hopefully the bats warm up. Also, some other things that are heating up. The vice president of basketball operations search. We'll see if the Atlanta Hawks finally have an answer to those questions. And to help me answer that question, Brad Rowland of Locked on Hawks and Hammer Territory. He joins me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Brad, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. I need the Braves to take a, I don't know. I need the Braves to figure something out, you know, one or the other. And we'll talk about them here in just a second. But I do want to start here with the Atlanta Hawks, the vice president of basketball operations. What's the latest on this surge? What are the Hawks looking for? And do you think that we have a resolution to this before the NBA Finals finishes up?
It's really interesting. It's been very, very quiet for about 2.5 weeks now. You know, it's honestly, this search has taken longer than I thought it was going to take originally. You know, they fired Landry Fields like April 21st, and it's June 1st as we're talking, and that's a pretty long time in this world of searches. Now, it's not unique. Like, for instance, the Phoenix Suns are head coachless about the same time frame, so like it's not unprecedented, but not even a lot of reporting in the last couple of weeks, honestly. There was a bit of a flurry around Masai Ujiri. It's of interest there, but other than that, it's kind of quiet, and I'm starting to think that the Hawks might just stand pat and kind of give the number one job to Antti Salle, who they already have in the building. He's the current GM, and maybe kind of build around him with some, you know, senior advisors, something like that. But it seems like they might just stick with that, but maybe there's a curveball, but they're clearly not in a hurry, if nothing else.
Yeah, no, at the very least. And look, at this point, I would not be surprised if they end up doing something like that and just see what they end up doing. But as far as summer expectations, what are your expectations for the Hawks this summer? No Trae Young extension, that's potentially on the table. Hopefully it is. Maybe they need to make a big splash move. I know some people here on this station have talked a little bit about a Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not exactly going to hold my breath for that one. But look, as far as your expectations for what's on the table for the Hawks this summer, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they certainly could make a big swing. I always kind of fall short of projecting something like that, especially, you know, the Giannis thing in particular. It's possible, but I would say it's unlikely. Even if you put all of the kind of bigger swing trades together and you just kind of added up the percentages, you're probably still below 50%. And that's probably okay. This is still a team that's pretty darn young of their core pieces. You know, the oldest guy in the core is Trae Young, who is still a pretty young player in the middle of his prime. So they're not really worried about aging out of the process. But still, if they want to take a bigger swing, and that was one of the things that kind of was in the background when they elected to fire Landry Fields, is like, hey, maybe Tony Ressler wants to speed this thing up a little bit. And that might be an indication of that. But that could happen in multiple ways. It could be more of a subtle speed up of like kind of building around the margins, adding someone with a mid-level exception, kind of just doing secondary things. Yeah, the Trae extension thing is a big domino for sure. It's probably the number one storyline for me this summer. They don't have to do that, but the negotiations there would be interesting to follow because it kind of tells you some stuff about the organization, like how committed are they to Trae Young. That's a big thing kind of just in the direction, because if they were to, you know, for instance, not extend Trae, maybe like keep the flexibility, that might kind of point you towards a slower, not rebuild, but more of a retooling where they're not going to speed it up. Because honestly, if they don't have Trae, they're not going to win as many games. Like, he's still their best player and all those things. So that's probably number one on the list. But certainly, I can never tell anybody not to get excited about big trades because they're always out there.
Oh, they're fun, and they're fun to think about, you know. But but as far as, I mean, finding a running mate for Trae Young seems to be just kind of a – seems like the Hawks have been fighting a losing battle with that here for several years now. And maybe Zachary Risacher can turn into that. Maybe Jalen Johnson can take that next big step. But as far as your expectations for the team next season – who is that guy who steps up on the current roster besides Trae Young, who we'll talk about here in just a moment? But who is that other person on this roster that you need to see take that big step forward in order for this team to make a playoff run, or at least make the playoffs in 2025-26?
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable question. And, you know, if they were to keep trying to build around Trae, you do need someone to probably become, if not as good as him, like pretty close to be able to be a real contending team. Like, Trae is really good, but you probably need to have another number two guy like that. The closest is certainly Jalen Johnson. He was on track to be like a top, I don't know, 30 or 40 player in the league last year before his injury. And I think that hopefully it wasn't like it's not a chronic injury, something like that. So you're hoping he picks up where he left off. And he was one of, like, I think, five guys in the league averaging 19 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists per game. Like, he's got a pretty interesting, you know, path to being probably not like a top 10 player, but like an actual, like, perennial all-star candidate kind of guy. That's a pretty important and honestly valuable player, especially because he's that kind of two-way four that everybody wants. So he's the guy that's the closest. And obviously the Hawks are hoping that Risacher breaks out. You know, he doesn't always have that, like, superstar pedigree, I wouldn't say. But, again, another guy who's, like, you know, 6'9", who can kind of defend and shoot and kind of be what you want to be. And maybe it's an unconventional path where you have maybe two or three guys that are all, like, that. There's, like, top 50 players around Trae Young. That's something you can kind of do without having a clear-cut number two. But if there is a number two guy – in the short term on the roster, it's probably Jalen Johnson.
Well, Brad, what does this team need? You know, just as far as I know, we talked a little bit about the big luxury item, but and then we talked about some other teams or guys who can step up who are on the roster already. But as far as somebody you could add legitimately, or at least just a position, what does this team need more than anything?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the best thing they could do to win more now would be to add a second star, and that's like easier said than done, of course. You know, and how many of those guys are actually available that are even better than Jalen Johnson right now? The list is probably like two or three at the absolute most that are actually like maybe even available in a trade. So it's kind of hard to say that. But really, they do need a second player that can create their own offense and also create for other people. And that might sound simple, but there were way too many times, especially after Jalen went down last season, where Trey was going to get double or triple teams, and they didn't have the guy to kind of make teams pay for that. And, you know, the hope would be that Jalen does that. The hope would be that, you know, in the short term, maybe even especially in the long term, Richey helps with that. But they just, there was too many times, especially in the play. I mean, in the play, and it was very clear. There was not a guy that other teams were scared of. And getting another guy that scares teams, that's a pretty simple thing to say. And it would be probably too broad to say, but they just kind of have to have a number two shot creator. And then obviously you need a backup point guard, backup center, all those things. But like the biggest thing is like that number two guy that actually can create offense.
How many swings do you think this organization is going to give Trae Young before they end up moving on from him? Or just saying that this is a failed experiment? You know, I mean, like, what's the ceiling for this team with Trae as its number one?
Yeah, it's a real question. And I found myself being, I think, higher on Trae than most at this point in time. But, you know, it's a very complicated situation. Like, the short version is I think he has more value to the Hawks than he would in a trade right now. Part of that's because he's really good, and part of that's because he unlocks a lot of what they've done. Like, they built around him in some respects. Like, all of their really intriguing young core guys look a lot better when you have the number one player in place, if that makes sense. Like, Trey's passing opens up a lot of stuff for Dyson Daniels and Richey and Jalen. But on the other side, if you want to be a pessimist about it, Trae probably isn't going to be a top 10 player in the league. Maybe he could get to the fringe of that. He's kind of flirted with that at times in the past. But it is hard to do that when you don't have that guy. And, you know, while the league is not – you don't have to have that player, it's easier if you do. And also, he's never going to stop being a 6'1 point guard. And that was always the case with Trae Young. As good as he's always been, like, there are limitations. Doesn't mean it's impossible, but there are challenges to building around a player that is as small as he is. Because, look, the last 30 years, 40 years, no one since Isaiah Thomas, 1990, has been the best player on a championship team at Trae Young's size. It's very hard to do.
Yeah. It's precedent. That's just what it says. You know, and look, I'm as high as on Trae Young as most people are in this city. And I think that this team can win with him. They showed that we can win in this city with Trae Young. And if he doesn't step on an official's ankle in the Eastern Conference Finals, we're potentially talking about the Hawks making a run to the NBA Finals. So who knows with the Atlanta Hawks? But as far as next season, I mean, ultimately it's going to be an interesting ride. A lot of discourse to come here on that situation. Brad Rowland joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. He does Locked On Hawks. Also, Hammer Territory covers the Atlanta Braves. And I'm getting to that point of insanity with this team, Brad, because I know how good they can be. We've seen it before. And it's just a frustrating spot to be in. So if I were to give you a Braves stock right now, it's not very high. It's not very good right now, but do you buy low or are you panic selling?
Ooh, I think with those two options, I would probably buy low. It's a harder sell. Maybe that's the wrong word. It's a harder for me to say that than it would have been 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's literally only been 2 weeks since I was pretty optimistic about the team, to be honest with you. And it shouldn't change that much over 2 weeks, especially with Ronald Acuna now back, and he looks great and all those things. But like the results in the last 2 weeks, like, they're just digging a bigger hole, and it feels like the same game every night in some respects. And the offense is not that good enough. I mean, probably the spotlight stat recently is like the Braves were top three in baseball in ERA over the month of May, and they went 13-14 in the month. And it's like they can't score runs, and it's insane. It's not the same team, but it's very similar to a team that was a record-setting offense, you know, 18, 20 months ago. And it's just it's wild. I would still buy low. Like, my brain won't allow me to say to sell at this point in time, but I wouldn't blame people now after seeing more and more of this that they were kind of at the end of the rope.
Yeah, and I'm not selling. I'm not selling, and I'm holding fast. And I know the definition of insanity. We talked about that in the last segment, but. You know, I know Ronald Acuna is back on this roster, and as long as he is picking up the bat and playing five times a week for this Atlanta Braves team, I think that this team is going to take that next step forward eventually. It's just you need to start seeing it elsewhere in the lineup. If he's going to come in and hit the way he's been hitting over the last week, I understand, what were they, 2-3 or 2-5, without whatever it was since he's come back. But the rest of it is going to come, and I'm confident that it's going to happen. But who is somebody in this lineup that you're pointing at specifically as the person who needs to step up and have a big final two-thirds of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really one guy. I think that maybe if you were to say, there's kind of two tiers, right? There's the Matt Olson, Austin Riley tier of guys who were like, they're having seasons that are not terrible. Like, they're actually been, if you look at the stats, they've been above average hitters this year. Neither one of those guys, though, has been what you hope that they would be, especially Riley, I think. Even the underlying stats on Riley are not terribly encouraging, so you can certainly go there. And the other one's Michael Harris. I mean, Michael Harris is having an objectively terrible season at the plate. I mean, he's really valuable other ways. His gloves are really good. He can run, all those things, but they're going to have a hard time living with where he has been with the bat, especially with everybody else struggling the way they have been. So I would probably go with Harris because he's going to have to play anyway. Like, they obviously have to have him in there for his gloves. And he's just been so bad that they're going to have to get him out of that. But it really is not one guy. I wish it was one guy. It'd be way easier if it was one guy, but it's really three or four.
Yeah. I mean, and look, you've got a hole at second base. Well, he's been better. Ozzie's been better, and I can't say that anymore. Michael Harris has been dreadful at the plate. Nick Allen, I mean, he is what you expected him to be, you know. And then whenever everybody else in this lineup doesn't seemingly have a big day, then it seems like this whole offense just kind of goes silent. And it's just a frustrating thing to watch every single day because you don't know if you're going to have one of those explosions like you had on Thursday or on Saturday, and or if you're going to have just an implosion like you had on Friday or Sunday. You know, and it's just a very frustrating spot to be in just watching this club every single day. It's just a brutal spot to be in. But I think that the pitching is also something that has been, as bad as the hitting has been, I think the pitching has been that good on the flip side. You know, but how many more hits can this rotation take just in general? A.J. Smith-Shawver, he goes down. I mean, now you're relying on Grant Holmes potentially to be your fourth guy for the rest of the season. There's no chance he goes into the bullpen. Bryce Elder, he's going to come back up into that fifth spot. But how many more hits can this rotation take this season?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, I cover the team and try to do everything, but it's like, it's hard to focus on the pitching right now because it's been the offense has been the problem. And you're right, the pitching's been really good. They've been top 10 in the league in ERA. It's crazy given where they are on the record-wise, but you're right. You know, with the Smith-Shawver injury, he had been pitching really well in recent days. With Lopez already out for a while, if not the whole season, we'll see how that goes. They are short, and Elder is just, you know, Bryce Elder's not anything great. He's probably not as bad as people think that he is, but he's not very good. And, yeah, one more injury to the rotation, and you're looking at guys who have never done this before. That's where you are. Because Bryce Elder is the last guy in the organization who has experience. And if anything else goes wrong, you're looking at prospects or plug-and-play guys who are on the market for nothing, basically. And it's so early, like, yeah, you can make a trade. That's the overall dance, also, the Braves are doing right now is that the deadline's still basically 2 months away. And most deals in baseball don't happen on June 1st. Like, yeah, it'd be nice if they went and bought some help right now. But, like, that's not usually how this stuff works. Like, you kind of have to stay afloat until, you know, July 1, July 15, something like that. But you're right. I mean, there's no margin for error with rotation anymore at all. With Lopez already down, it's Smith-Shawver now out.
So what's the priority for this team at the deadline? I'm assuming that I'm buying stock, and you're buying stock as well. So I'm assuming that they're going to be buyers when we get to the trade deadline in 2 months. If you can believe it, it's still 2 months away until we get to the end of or get to that trade deadline. But what do you expect this team to target first? I know you have needs at shortstop. You have needs in the pitching rotation. You have needs potentially in the bullpen still. What are you targeting?
I still think it probably is going to end up being a bullpen arm, but that's a big asterisk with starting pitching, like we just said. Like they probably need to get a little bit of depth, whether it's someone who could kind of do both or something like that. Maybe if there's an update on Lopez between now and then. But, you know, it's hard. Like, we just talked about how they need offense, and they do, but there isn't a position outside of shortstop where they can realistically upgrade via trade. Like, left field, yes, but they have Jerickson Profar, who they just signed for a bunch of money coming back in 3 or 4 weeks. And they're not going to trade over him with 3 years off on his deal. So you're hoping for offense internally, and then you're going to hopefully buy some help either in the rotation or bullpen or both. And pitching, it can be tricky, especially starters. Like, you're hoping that Lopez comes back, and because the easiest thing to add is bullpen arms. Like, they don't grow on trees, but they don't cost as much. So I think that's probably what's going to happen is they will go out and get a reliever. Maybe they will have called up Kimbrel by then as well. But I think that if I were a betting man, I would say they'll add a reliever. But hopefully the starting rotation won't be a glaring need, but they certainly could use another arm, even if it's just for depth.
Yeah. I mean, you need pitchers, and you can never have enough pitchers because rarely, never, actually, you could say that you start with five pitchers in your rotation. Do you ever finish with those same five pitchers in your rotations? Brad, thank you, as always. What you got coming up here on socials, and what do you have coming up on the Locked On Network?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me. I am at BT Roland on all the social platforms and just hosting podcasts, man. Locked On Hawks is 5 days a week, covering all the latest with the Hawks, and then Hammer Territory. I am on probably two or three times a week, but the show is four or five times a week covering the Braves. So you can find those podcasts and everything else at BT Roll on social media.
Brad, appreciate it as always.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Yep, that's Brad Roland. As good as it gets. Now, the guy knows his stuff every single time. And speaking of the NBA, I do want to pull it back into an NBA Finals discussion. I'll bring in Dom Trotsky with me. Knicks were eliminated by the Pacers. Good or bad for the NBA? We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.